Hey everyone, Jason Malone here. Welcome to the Jesus on Display podcast. Before we begin today's content, I wanted to say thanks for supporting us here at Fellowship Greenville with your gifts and your generosity. Because of your giving, we get to share resources like this podcast with you to help reach you wherever you are in your life with Jesus. If you'd like to support the ministry of Fellowship Greenville, you can head to fellowshipgreenville.org/give to get started. Thanks so much for your support, and we hope you enjoy today's episode. Was this group of people back in the day who determined this message, the message of the resurrected Jesus, because they had seen it with their own eyes, that that was going to be the message that they would give their lives to. Sharing and showing how Jesus changes everything, that he is the only one who matters. And this small group of people with love and boldness began telling anyone and everyone about the resurrected Jesus. And on opening day, so to speak, of the church, 3,000 people were added to their number, added to the first handful of Christ followers, and they were baptized, and the church grew, a church that mattered because Jesus was the one that mattered to them. And then shortly thereafter, another 2,000 people believed in Jesus, we're told in Acts 4. So in no time flat, the church has grown to about 5,000 people. And Charlie and I have referenced Acts 4 a few times in this series, where we see the church being the church in regards to how they treat and interact with one another. I just want to read these verses to you from Acts 4:32 to remind you, since we've referenced them a few times. Verse 32 says, "All the believers were united in heart and mind, and they felt that what they owned was not their own, so they shared everything they had. The apostles testified powerfully to the resurrection of the Lord Jesus." There it is. That's what they were talking about. "And God's great blessing," or God's great grace, "was upon them all. And there were no needy people among them, because those who owned land or houses, they would sell it and they would bring the money to the apostles and they would give to those in need." And such a great passage. It's such an encouraging passage. And some of you who say, "Man, I wish we went back to the early church," you're probably thinking of this kind of passage. Oh, how great is this? But before those verses and after those verses, we read of something that was essential to the church being a church that mattered, and that is this: they had unbelievable boldness. If you look up the definition of bold, you will read, "Fearless before danger." They were bold about Jesus because Jesus is the one who mattered most to them. And if you look earlier in Acts 4, before the passage I just read, your Bible's heading might even say before verse 13, "The boldness of the disciples." And you're heading before verse 23, it might read, "Prayer for boldness." And that's the first recorded prayer of the early church. And I just want to read a couple of verses from that prayer. It says this in chapter 4, verse 29. "And now, O Lord, hear their hearts and give us, your servants, great boldness in preaching your word. Stretch out your hand with healing power. May miraculous signs and wonders be done through the name of your holy servant, Jesus." You see, the early church was known for being bold about the resurrected Jesus, and they were threatened to stop talking about the resurrected Jesus because the authoritative power players of the day were trying to keep the peace between the Romans and the Jewish people. But instead of being quiet about the resurrected Jesus, they prayed for more boldness to talk about the resurrected Jesus, because Jesus is the one who mattered. And as a result, the church mattered. It was exploding, growing. It was a movement. It was a movement with a message, and the message was this. I said it, I'll say it again. Jesus makes a relationship with God possible for anyone and everyone. And that is the message that they wanted to share. And the early church, the local church, was known for thinking of others more than themselves. And they were known for being gracious and treating people with love and kindness. Even the people who didn't agree with them, they suffered with grace. And we're told, even amongst people who didn't agree with them, they had favor in their communities and culture because there was something different about them. And the difference was this: we have seen the resurrected Jesus, and Jesus is the one who matters. And as a result, the church mattered. Boldness they prayed for, boldness they would need. I wanna look what happened shortly after their prayer for boldness. If you turn in your Bibles to Acts chapter 5 and verse 26, I'm gonna pick up there momentarily, but as you turn there, let me give you a little bit more for context's sake of what's been taking place here with the early church earlier in Acts 5. I'll say it this way. Word was out about the miraculous healings that were taking place through the apostles. They had prayed. I just read the prayer. And so people are getting healed. People are bringing the lame and the sick and the demon-possessed. Everyone's getting healed. People from the surrounding communities were showing up. And as a result of all of this taking place, the Sadducees, who were some of the religious leaders of the day, and again, everyone's trying to manage the balance of power between Rome and the Jews. Things are pretty tense. And in the midst of the tension is this movement that is the early church. And the early church mattered because Jesus mattered to them. And the religious of the day, the religious leaders of the day weren't fans, I'll say it that way, of the apostles. See, no one was going to check out the religious leaders in such a way as they were going to check out what the apostles were doing, because the apostles were the ones that were healing everybody. They were where it was at, so to speak. They were the hot ticket. They were the must-see. They are where the action was. And we're told here in Acts 5 that the religious leaders, the Sadducees, they were jealous. And that jealousy led to all of the apostles being arrested. If you read at the beginning of chapter 4, it's Peter and John that are brought in. But now let's just arrest all of them. That'll stop whatever this movement is. At least that's what they were thinking. And we're told, it's pretty interesting, we're told that they were placed overnight in the city jail, all the apostles. And in the middle of the night, an angel comes and lets them out of jail. So good. Fun fact and a little divine humor. One of the markers of the Sadducees, like one of their tenets, one of the things that they held to is that they did not believe in angels. So God has the best sense of humor. God doesn't have a good sense. God's got the best sense of humor. God's the best. So God's got the best sense of humor. So I imagine the conversation between him and one of his angels went like this. Hey, Larry. Because obviously there's an angel named Larry. It's in the message. I think I read it. Anyway, the apostles are in jail. And Larry is like, oh, who arrested him? You won't believe it. It's the Sadducees. Classic. Go get them out. And I'm gonna make sure it's documented for all time so that people get a good chuckle at the irony every time they read the story. So the angel shows up, lets them out of jail, and tells them, go preach. Look at verse 20. If you have your Bibles already open to Acts 5, the angel says, go to the temple and give the people this message of life. Exclamation point. So at daybreak, the apostles entered the temple as they were told and immediately began teaching. The angel shows up and says, keep telling them about the resurrected Jesus. And so they do. Did you see when? At daybreak, as soon as the sun came up. Not after lunch. Not after some rest and relaxation. Not after reevaluating whether being bold about the resurrected Jesus was wise or worth it. That morning, after being let out, they're boldly proclaiming. In the Greek, the language here to keep giving the message of life that the angel shares with them carries the idea of dogged steadfastness. Such an incredible story. While the apostles are out being bold, the religious leaders are ready to meet with them to bring a stop to this movement. So they send some servants to bring the apostles to them from the jail. And that's when everyone realizes the apostles are not in jail, but instead they're out telling others about Jesus. So the leaders tell the guards to go get them and bring them. But there's so many people around the apostles listening to them that the guards are scared of what the crowd might do if they rearrest them. So they don't want to do this forcefully. So that's a pretty interesting scene as they kind of come up in the midst of the crowd and go, hey, I see that you guys are out. The Bible's great. There's some good stuff in there. See, you guys are out. Not exactly sure yet about how all that happened, but the religious leaders are wondering if you want to go ahead and come back in. Do you mind, like, would you go ahead and, like, you know, just go ahead and, like, rearrest yourself? Can you do that for us? Because we're going to get taken out here if we try to take you in right now. And that's where we pick up everything that transpires here in chapter 5, verse 26. Because the apostles went with them. The captain went with his temple guards and arrested the apostles, but without violence, for they were afraid the people would stone them. Verse 27 says, then they brought the apostles before the high council, so the lawyers of the day, where the high priest, head honcho, confronted them. Verse 28, we gave you strict orders never again to teach in this man's name, he said. Did you see that? The high priest doesn't even want to say Jesus' name. He just says, this man. It's one of the things I love about Jesus. You've heard us talk about it before here at Fellowship Greenville. He's always making you do something with him. Make him king of your life or tell him to get lost. The one thing that Jesus doesn't allow you to do is look at him and go, I'm all right with you. But Jesus is always making people decide what they're going to do with him. Instead, you have filled all of Jerusalem with your teaching about him. And you want to make us responsible for his death? Now, again, as a reminder, this interaction here is shortly after the resurrection. What I mean by that is it's not decades later, years later. This has recently transpired. And imagine what must be going through the apostles' mind as they hear the high priest say, want to make us responsible. They're thinking, you are responsible. And here's what we know about Peter. If he's thinking it, he's probably going to say it. Look at verse 29. Peter and the apostles replied, we must obey God rather than any human authority. The God of our ancestors raised Jesus from the dead after you killed him by hanging him on a cross. He's going to go ahead and say what he's thinking. Verse 31, then God put him in the place of honor at his right hand as prince and savior. He did this so people of Israel would repent of their sins and be forgiven. We are witnesses of these things, and so is the Holy Spirit, who is given by God to those who obey him. Did you hear it? Because this is important. We're witnesses. Peter's going, hey guys, this isn't hearsay for us. It's not just about believing something for them, because of course they believe it, but we saw it. We've seen Jesus, the resurrected Jesus, and we're gonna tell everyone about it, and we're gonna let them know that a relationship with God is possible because of Jesus, because Jesus is the one who matters. This is the movement. This is the message of the church, a church that matters. And where does Peter get this kind of boldness? Like, he had prayed for it, right? He had prayed for boldness, and then here he is standing before them. He prays for boldness, and then he said something else that I think is really important. He said, we must obey God. That's what he said to him. We must obey God. Verse 33, when they heard this, the high council was furious, and they decided to kill him. Now, I know that might come across as a little harsh. You might not be able to get your mind around that. Really, just for talking back, you're going to go ahead and kill him. But think about what the religious leaders of the day are thinking. I mean, they'd already killed Jesus. So why not go ahead and kill these guys? Maybe if we kill these guys, it stops the whole thing. The whole movement. Verse 34, but one member, a Pharisee, which is another of the religious leaders of the day, named Gamaliel, who's an expert in religious law and respected by all the people, he stood up and he ordered that the men, the apostles, be sent outside the council chamber for a while. So again, if you can put yourself into the story just to think about it, it's really very interesting. Hey, you guys gonna head out and we're gonna chat about you. So y'all go wait over there somewhere outside of the room. We're gonna talk about you. And yes, we will be discussing whether or not to kill you. Like, imagine what that's like in this moment. Verse 35, and then he said to his colleagues, men of Israel, take care what you are planning to do to these men. Some time ago, there was that fellow, Thutis, who pretended to be someone great. About 400 others joined him, but he was killed, and all of his followers went their various ways. The whole movement came to nothing. Now, we actually don't know much about Thutis, but evidently he was able to get some people to sign up for whatever he was trying to stir up. And we know from Jewish history that many so-called revolts rose up against the Romans during the time that Jesus was walking the planet. But then he says this in verse 37, after him, after Thutis, at the time of the census, there was Judas of Galilee, and he got people to follow him, and he was killed too, and all of his followers scattered. Now, we know a little bit more about Judas the Galilean. He was the ringleader of the Zealots. The Zealots, they didn't care for Rome in any way, shape, or form, and they rose up and they said, you know, we're not gonna pay these taxes that you're putting on us because of this new census stuff. And a lot of people were like, yeah, we're with Judas the Galilean. We'll be zealot. A side note, but it's also kind of interesting. Simon the Zealot was one of Jesus' apostles. As was Matthew the tax collector. Two guys that were formerly known by their name for something other than being a follower of Jesus. It's pretty cool that they're a part of this whole thing. Because Jesus is the only one that can take natural-born enemies and make them a part of the same family. Part of the same movement. Part of a church that matters. Did you know when you gather here at Fellowship Greenville, if this is your place, there's thousands of people here. I want to let you in on a little something. A lot of them have a lot of opinions and thoughts about a lot of things that are different than yours. And that's the reason it's so important to keep the main thing, to stand up on a regular basis and remind all of us that Jesus is the one who matters. Because when you don't regularly come back to the fact that Jesus is the one who matters, then we run off the rails and make other things that don't matter the thing that matters the most. Gamaliel says, we didn't get involved when Rome wanted to raise taxes. Obviously, we weren't for it. None of the Jewish people were for it. But then the zealots rose up. But we didn't get involved, and the whole situation was solved by other people, and the religious leaders of the day got out of it unscathed. Verse 38. So he says, my advice is leave these men alone and let them go. If they're planning and doing these things merely on their own, it'll soon be overthrown. But if it is from God, you will not be able to overthrow them. You may even find yourself fighting against God. You see, Roman leadership in the day was against any movement that would rise up against their authority. Didn't matter what it was. They wanted to keep power. If it's not a God thing, it's going to be squashed by Rome. And we don't have to squash it and have anybody hating on us because everybody's digging everything they're talking about and doing right now. Oh, yeah, and the other possibility, it's a God thing. And if it's a God thing, nothing's gonna stop it. Not even killing them. And he had no idea when he said what he says right here, how right he was. Verse 40. The others accepted his advice. They called in the apostles. And while they didn't kill him, they had him flogged. Now, I don't know if you're like me, but I still very vividly remember sitting in the movie theater and watching The Passion of the Christ years ago. And in that moment, the reality of being flogged was brought to life to me. And I know a lot of you have seen that as well. So I don't want to rush past it. I know it's uncomfortable. But the apostles watched as their friends were scarred for life and waited their turn. Like this wasn't done in like 10 minutes. This is going to take the better part of a day, yeah? And they walk away with mutilated bodies, a constant reminder for the rest of their days, every time they took their shirt off. And I've wondered, just reading and being reminded, I've wondered if the message of Jesus would have moved past the first century if that was me. Then they ordered him, says, they ordered him never again to speak in the name of Jesus. And they let him go. Verse 41. The apostles left the high council rejoicing that God had counted them worthy to suffer disgrace for the name of Jesus. Oh, verse 42. And every day in the temple and from house to house, they continued to teach and preach this message. Jesus is the Messiah. Jesus is the one who mattered to the early church. And as a result, the church mattered. Jesus on Display podcast is produced right here at Fellowship Greenville in Greenville, South Carolina. Thanks for listening to today's episode. Follow and share this podcast with anyone who might be interested or curious about our church community or how storytelling unites us and helps us feel more connected. To actively keep up with what's going on at our church, head to our website at fellowshipgreenville.org, follow us on all social media platforms, and subscribe to our YouTube channel. Thanks so much for tuning in. Grace and peace to you for your week. We'll see you next time.